The Minnesota Wild coming off a convincing thrashing over the Wild. Can they continue to roll? Andy Strickland from TrueHockey.com. Also, St. Louis radio contributor, Fox Sports TV. Guy does it all. He's multi-talented. Andy, the Blues clearly a much better effort in Game 4 than they put forth in Game 3.
Well, I would agree. I mean, I called it a complete role reversal, Jason. I mean, that's basically what it was. I mean, the Wild looked like the Blues from Game 3, and the Blues looked like the Wild from Game 3. So they just kind of reversed roles there, you know? I mean, the Blues got badly outplayed in Game 3. I think they got together as a team during the off day, had a lot of meetings, and basically said, you know, they knew their season was basically on the line because you go down 3-1, obviously we know the hole that puts you in. So whatever was said, it certainly worked. They played their best game of the series thus far. Now the big challenge is, you know, to have that consistency and be able to play, you know, like that again tonight and string a couple of games together. Neither team's been able to do that thus far, Jason. Both teams have lacked that consistency from game to game. And this is obviously a pivotal game. We saw the blowout. We saw St. Louis not even in the game in Game 3. I think tonight's going to be a lot different, and I think both teams are going to have an opportunity or at least be in position to win the game, you know, midway through the third period. Who's going to get that next goal or the important goal to seal the deal or to force overtime or extend a lead remains to be seen. But I think both teams obviously learned their lesson. You can't take your foot off the gas against either opponent.
Will Laterra play tonight for the Blues?
You know, I really can't say one way or another. I really don't know. I mean, he took the shot off the hand, a Jay Bouwmeester shot. He didn't skate this morning. The team is saying 50-50. This is a bigger deal than I think most people realize, by the way. I mean, Jori Lehterä has great chemistry with Tarasenko. He can make plays. He's a big body down low. If they don't have him tonight, Marcel Gotch is going to step into the lineup. He'll play with Yaskin and Berglund, and you're going to have Paul Stastny step up and play with Tarasenko and Schwartz, which he's done numerous times this season. But still, Lehterä is a guy who can make plays in the power play. He can kill penalties for you as well. And we're going to have to wait and see. My guess is that he won't play. That's just my guess. But Ken Hitchcock said today it's 50-50, and he went on the assumption that he thought that he would play. But it's just a guess on my part, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him not out there. Again, it was a hand, and he wasn't out there for the morning skate. You know, that would tell me that he probably won't play, but we'll see.
So if he can't play, who's replacing him?
Well, that's what I said. Marcel Gotch would come into the lineup. He didn't play in the previous game. He normally centers the fourth line, but right now you've got Steve Ott moving over to play center. He did last game, and he'll play center again today on the fourth line with Ryan Reeves and Chris Porter, who came into the lineup in the previous game. So Gotch essentially is going to replace Lehterä, even though it wouldn't be on Laterra's line, because Stastny is going to move up and play with Tarasenko and Schwartz. But you're going to need another body, another centerman, and Marcel Gotch is going to be the addition.
Okay. You know, Gotch comes in. He's a player a lot of people are high on. You know, he's rather versatile, can play center, can play the wing. You know, the Blues, they had that game really in control. Obviously, Tarasenko, Samora, highlight reel goals for them. And, yeah, you know, you had a lot of guys playing the role. Steve Ott's trying to stir things up late in the game. The Wild players don't like it. You know, Tarasenko's dangling all over. You talked about how easily their most complete game. Why do you think neither team has been able to put forth two good efforts? Is it just because the other team has taken control of the game early right away and they haven't been able to respond, or is it some teams have sleptwalked through games?
Well, I got a variety of answers. You know, I asked that question to a number of guys today. I mean, I got, you know, an answer from both teams are good, and that's why they're able to shut down the opposition. I mean, you look at the St. Louis Blues, they just, you know, basically played on the outside. They played on their perimeter up until last game, and you got to be able to play on the inside to, one, create scoring chances, but to also get to Devan Dubnyk, because if he sees a puck, he's showing that he's going to make the save. But they got to him, obviously, last game, and that was the first time he had been chased. I think, well, I don't know about the first time since he went to Minnesota, but it's the most goals he's allowed since going to Minnesota.
Yep.
And the Blues, listen, they're not scared of Devan Dubnyk. I want to say that. I mean, this was a big storyline coming into the series, and I think anybody who's paid attention fully understands that Jake Allen has been the better of the two goaltenders. He's clearly outplayed Devan Dubnyk. And I think the Blues respected Dubnyk as a great story. I'm not so sure they were quite ready to call him a great goaltender like a lot of other people are. And we'll see if he gets named as a Vezina finalist later on today. But Dubnyk still has a lot to prove. He's never been in the playoffs before this year. How he responds, I know everyone talks about how great he did throughout the regular season in terms of his ability to bounce back from having a bad game or when he didn't perform well or when the team lost. This is completely different, Jason, as you know. I mean, he just gave up 6 goals in a Stanley Cup playoff game. That type of response or rebound is completely different than anything he's dealt with in the National Hockey League before. So I'm interested to see how he looks tonight.
Kevin Shattenkirk has 7 apples in 4 games, playing just under 21 minutes a night for the Blues, being a huge addition for them since he's come back from injury.
Well, he really has been. And, again, I thought his last game was his best game. He had 3 assists in that game. You know, you look at it in the first couple of games, I mean, he didn't play a whole lot. I think he averaged 16 minutes a night in the first 2 games. He was playing on the third pair with Barrett Jackman and didn't really impact the game, even though he had a couple of points and was getting some assists. A couple of those were secondary assists, but still, just in terms of having the flow and getting into the game. And I know he missed 25 games down the stretch with an injury. But I would have liked to see him get that opportunity maybe a little sooner in the series to get back with his partner, Carl Gunnarsson, who he played most of the season with, and that's where you saw him in the last game, and he just excelled. You know, he's moving his feet again. The Blues' transition game looked really strong, I think because of the way they had their defense slotted last game. Putting Pietrangelo back with Bouwmeester, they had a ton of success last season. The two didn't play that well this year, but still, against a team with speed, you need quick exits. You need guys who can move the puck and who can move their feet on your top 2 defensive pairings. And now the Blues have that with Gunnarsson and Shattenkirk playing behind Bouwmeester and Pietrangelo. I think Zabinek Mikhalik is in a good spot now with Barrett Jackman. They can kind of play that shutdown role. They can defend. They can block shots. Not a whole lot of pressure to transition the puck off the glass and out and get off the ice. It's a much more suitable role for him, and I think it's certainly a much more suitable role for Kevin Shattenkirk. I mean, this guy was an all-star, Kevin, you know, or Jason, sorry. He was an all-star. He's a U.S. Olympian. He needs to be in the top 4 for the St. Louis Blues, and I think most people would agree with that.
Andy Strickland joins us. Andy, any reason why Jay Bouwmeester is playing 2.5 minutes less per game so far in the playoffs than he was in the regular season?
Well, you haven't had a whole lot of special teams.
Okay.
You know, I mean, there was one game where Minnesota didn't take a penalty. There haven't been a whole lot of penalties taken throughout the game, so he's not seeing a ton of PP time right now. Pietrangelo's eaten up some of that PP time that maybe Bouwmeester has seen. Obviously, Shattenkirk's going to play on the power play, and again, the lack of PK probably has his and let me just say this, a couple things. I think the lack of opportunities to kill penalties, but also, you know, you look at the previous game, they're just rolling lines. I mean, the Blues had a 6-1 lead for going into the third period, right? So they're just rolling lines. Normally, you're going to see his minutes be around 10 minutes or so in that third period. His ice time was down in the third period because they didn't need to use him like they normally would.
And this just coming out, Rene, Dubnyk, and Price, the 3 finalists for the Vezina, and just illustrates what a turnaround season for Devan Dubnyk, no doubt. You know, one player in St. Louis, he's got 5 goals already. He's such an electrifying player to watch, Vladimir Tarasenko. And his confidence with the puck, like people talk about, oh, yeah, the Forsberg move, but he did in a shootout. This guy's doing this in playoff games and regular season games. Like to me right now, him, Patrick Kane, and Ovechkin, and I guess I'd throw in Pavel Datsyuk, they're the 4 most exciting offensive players in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, Stamkos isn't scoring goals right now, but you got to throw him in there, you know. But I would agree. I mean, in terms of scoring off the rush, backing opponents off with speed, the ability to beat defenders one-on-one, the one thing all those guys can do is they can score in so many different ways. And that's what Tarasenko can do. He's more than just a guy who can score on a breakaway. He doesn't cheat defensively to get his breakaways. He can score from the perimeter as well as anybody we've ever seen, to be honest with you, in terms of his release. It's that good. And he doesn't need to wind it up for a slap shot to beat NHL goaltenders from the outside either. He can just do it with a wrist shot. He's smarter than just about every goaltender he's going to go up against. He has a really unique ability to read opposing goaltenders, see which way, you know, their tendencies, get them leaning one way, and then find a way to sneak the puck through. We saw that and his first or second goal, I forgot, in game two, when he got Dubnyk kind of leaning and beat him on the short side. I mean, that's not done by accident. You know, that's a goal scorer's goal.
Yeah.
But and he can beat guys one-on-one, like I mentioned. He can beat you to your right. He can beat you to your left. He can beat you forehand, backhand, whatever. Again, his ability to score in so many different ways, I think it's really what separates him from not just most players. I think everybody in the league right now. You know, I mean, Ovechkin is unreal, but how long is it going to be before we start calling Vladimir Tarasenko the most dangerous player in the National Hockey League?
Oh, it's hard to argue with that. And the funny thing is, he's only got 8 shots. Like Ken Hitchcock, I saw his quote after. Like, yeah, it's great. He's got to shoot more.
Mm-hmm. Well, he does. Well, listen, he had no shots on goal in game three. None. I mean, he was a -3. He, Steen, and Laterra collectively a -9. And they got eaten up by the Pominville line. They weren't necessarily going head-to-head, but that's the top line for Minnesota. They've been real dangerous off the rush, making Steen plays, you know, getting odd man situations in transition and, you know, just connecting on some tic-tac-toe plays. The three of those guys combined for 6 points in that game. And Tarasenko had no shots on goal. I mean, his line, they had no shots on goal through 2 periods. I think Steen had 2 shots in the third, but Laterra and Tarasenko had no shots at the end of the third period. So he does need to shoot more. There's no question about that. You look at Minnesota right now, Jason, they're not getting a whole lot of secondary scoring. I mean, you look at Stewart, Koivu, Vanek, Coyle, 4 of those guys combined, 0 goals so far in the playoffs. They're going to need those guys to score at some point here. I know Zucker has 1 goal. That came 2 minutes and 47 seconds into the series. Niederreiter has 1 goal. That was an empty netter. So they're not getting a whole lot outside of their top line. And the Blues aren't getting a whole lot either. I mean, Stastny's got 1. He got 1 last game. Backes had 1 last game. You look at Schwartz, he's got 1 goal. Oshie hasn't scored yet. So they're going to need some other guys to step up as well. Coming into last game, real quick, Backes, Petrangelo, Oshie, and Stastny had combined for 0 points, not just 0 goals. And the 4 of those players combined for 5 points last game. So they obviously came up came up big at the right time.
One last one for you. TJ Oshie, how's he played in this series?
Well, I mean, it's been tough. I asked Ken Hitchcock about that today. And there's just not a whole lot of room out there. For smaller players, it's difficult. In the playoffs, you're playing against a team that is on you so quickly, like Minnesota. You know, they give you no space, no time to create, and if you're not a real explosive player, even if you have skill, it can be difficult. So, again, that gets back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago. Getting on the inside, playing on the inside, getting to the front of the net, that's how you're going to score goals against Devan Dubnyk, and that's how you're going to score goals in the playoffs. And right now, Oshie and Schwartz really haven't discovered their game offensively. I'm more surprised about Schwartz than I am Oshie. You know, Oshie's got a ton of skill. He's tenacious. He's got that pit bull attitude. But, you know, Schwartz is a smaller player, but he has that quick change of direction, his ability to change direction in tight spaces and escape coverage, escape pressure with speed. And he's a sniper, too. He can score goals from the outside. He's got a great shot. Don't be surprised if a guy like Jaden Schwartz all of a sudden breaks out sometime very, very soon. You hope so, because the season could be over. If
yeah. Well,
I would think that he's going to find the back of the net before too long.
Andy, enjoyed the pivotal game 5 in a best of 7 is huge, so enjoy it. Appreciate your time as always.
How exciting are things in Edmonton? You've got to be kidding me. Connor McDavid, then you get Peter Chiarelli. I mean, this is unreal. We don't even talk about that.
Yeah.
Jason, this is a change of times. I think this has got to be so exciting for the people in Edmonton. And the organization, and it's nothing against the people who have been running it for all these years there with the Oilers, but I think truly kind of changing things up, out with the old, in with the new, a fresh perspective, a fresh face, fresh voice, different ideas. This is going to be huge for the Edmonton Oilers. Probably long overdue, but Oiler fans should be excited about this.
We appreciate your time, Andy. I can tell you what our fans are rather stoked about it. Bob Nicholson is, right now he might be getting a street named after him in Edmonton.
Well, he might. And you know he's going to surround himself with these Hockey Canada guys. And I think as long as everybody who's been around there for a long time opens these guys, you know, welcomes these guys with open arms and realizes, you know, that it's time to make a change here and bring in some quality hockey people who know what they're doing and who have won before – You know, I mean, as bad as Edmonton has been, they're worse than they should be. And I think most people realize that. They got to improve their roster in certain areas. But there's really no excuse for being as bad as they've been. There's no excuse for having the first overall pick four times in 6 years. I don't even think they should allow that. But take advantage of the opportunity now because you haven't done it before.
True. I don't know. When you have the lottery, I don't know how else you do it. You say, well, geez, you can't win the lottery, right? Like, I'm not sure what more they can do now.
Well, I'm just saying, just in general. I mean, to have the first. That's a pretty lucky situation. Oh. You just hope they take advantage, right? I mean, you know, but I mean, to have the first overall pick and be in that position after all those times they have in the first. Most teams, okay, they get the first overall pick once, maybe twice, but then they figure it out and they're not in that position again.
Yeah.
Edmonton's got to figure it out, and now they have a guy who can certainly do that.
Should help them. It's kind of back in the days when the Montreal Canadiens used to have the territorial rights for all the Quebec-born players.
Exactly. There you go.
That was a big advantage for them, for sure, but you got to take advantage of it. Annie, enjoy the game. Should be a madhouse in St. Louis.
It will be. Thanks, Jason.